Good morning again. Let's pray and then let's just share in the word today. Father God, thank you that every day of our lives you lift us up. You are a part of our day in ways that we're not even aware of. We're thankful, Father, for the ways that the things that we're aware of that you do for us, the breath that we breathe and the food that we eat and the protection that we've enjoyed this past week. But Father, we pause and thank you for the things that we're not aware of either, because we know there are many. Because you are Creator, you are God, you hold us in your hand, you're the one that gives us life, and we celebrate that today. Father, today our nation celebrates fathers, and we want to take time to look at that. Father, I pray that the words I say would be true and would build up the people that are here. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, you know, for us men, the first time you became a father was a pretty big deal, wasn't it? I mean, it changed your life. You started worrying about things that you hadn't worried about before, right? You started thinking thoughts that you hadn't thought before. I mean, it's this thing about feeling responsibility. You know, there's a lot of debate about male leadership. It's not a choice. It's just a thing. When you're standing there holding your little baby, I mean, you start thinking thoughts and feeling feelings that you've never had before. And for those of you that were the second or third born in your family, you're important too, okay? But that firstborn was laid in the arms of that dad, it did things. And I want to talk today about God as Father. The title of this lesson is When God Became Father. It was a surprise to me. Well, let me back up. I grew up with God as my Father. You know, the prayers that we prayed always started off with Heavenly Father or Our Father. Today, you and I can hardly think of God without thinking, without calling Him Father. Well, it has not always been that way. Several years ago when I was doing research on fathering and probably for a Father's Day sermon, it surprised me that the first time God is called Father, it's the scripture that was read to you earlier there in Deuteronomy 32:6. Is he not your father who bought you? He made you and established you. That's almost at the very end of the fifth book in the Bible. That is the very first time in Scripture that God is referred to as Father. Before that, he's God Almighty, El Shaddai. He's God the Protector, God the Provider, Eternal God. But he's not called Father. Abraham, I think, had this rich relationship with God, but Abraham did not know God as Father. We do. And it's interesting because Moses has led the people of Israel through the books, most of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
I didn't turn this on. Well, we'll just have to. Or went off or something. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, this is a song that Moses sings. The whole book of Deuteronomy is one long sermon. They're standing at the Jordan River. They're getting ready to cross over into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. They have been wandering for 40 years out in the wilderness. And Moses recounts all of their history in the book of Deuteronomy. That's just one long sermon. And now he gets ready to sing a song. And it's in that song that God is referred to as Father. Now, in Deuteronomy 32, I just want to start this for you because it's a praise to God. And he starts off, it's a long song, I've got to flip more pages. It says, "Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Let the earth hear the words of my mouth," says Moses. "Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass and as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteousness and upright is he." Then it switches. "They have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you." So there's some warning in this. Interestingly, the statements that he's saying here about being a crooked generation, that doesn't apply to the people that he's singing to right now. That applied to their parents that came out of Egypt. The disobedient ones, the whiners, the grumblers, they all died in the wilderness. And when the last one died, then the children got to enter the promised land. It's going to apply to their grandchildren. If you read in before this song that he begins to sing, it's a warning about what's going to happen to the people after they go into that promised land. But this generation that he's singing to, they are the faithful generation. They have spent 40 years out there eating the manna that fell from heaven, drinking water from the rock, eating the quail, being protected by God. They learned to trust in God. They followed the fire by night, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. 700,000 soldiers are listening to this song, the warriors of Israel. A month after this song is sung, they're going to cross the Jordan River and they're going to attack one of the most powerful cities, Jericho. They're going to march it around seven times, right? And the walls are going to tumble down. They had been told, take nothing. A few days before that, these warriors, none of the baby boys were circumcised during that 40 years of wandering. So after Moses sings this song and dies, they spend a month celebrating his life. Then they cross the Jordan River, go and they lay down in the shadow of that city of Jericho and go under the knife. Everybody under 40 years old was circumcised in enemy territory. They laid there helpless for 3 days. This is the kind of faith the generation has to whom Moses is singing. Back to those 700,000 soldiers that are going to go into Jericho, they were told, take nothing. Take no silver, no gold. This was an incredibly wealthy city. Take nothing. One soldier, Achan, took some stuff. The other 699,999 warriors of Israel took nothing. These people learned something out in the wilderness, didn't they? And it is to this generation that God chooses to reveal himself as Father to them. He didn't do it to their parents. This is a big deal when God becomes Father. And I think it matters that he takes this time to this group of faithful people to introduce himself as such. Now, interestingly, if you go a few other verses, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 18, he says, "You neglected the Rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth." So God presents himself here as both father and mother, but since it's Father's Day, we're going to focus on fatherhood. Is that okay? Rather than the God who gave you birth, it'll be the Rock who begot you. But it's interesting, when he introduces himself as a parent, he brings in both sides, fatherhood and motherhood here, in this same song. So maybe reflect on that later as you read this when you get home.
one of the reasons I think God presents himself as father and mother is because they're about to go into the promised land. And he told them, he said, when you enter there, all the houses are going to be built. The fences are going to, the wells are going to be dug. The fences are going to be built. All the vineyards are going to be planted. The fields are going to be plowed. It's going to be a turnkey operation. You're going to be able to move in there, move into the houses that other people have built, drink water from the wells that they've dug, eat grapes and olives from the orchards that they planted, plant your wheat in fields that are already well developed. But also, on top of a lot of the tall hills, there would be this stone pillar where they worshipped the god Baal. That was Father Sky, god of lightning and war. The statues they find of him, he's got a fistful of lightning bolts in one hand and a spear in the other. He was the rain god. He was the god that they were trying to, when Elijah and the prophets of Baal were dancing around, they were trying to get it to rain. The reason they were praying to Baal is because Baal is the rain god. But then if you went to the low spots in the land where there'd be like a grove of trees, you'd find a wooden kind of a totem pole, wooden statue carved in the shape of a woman. And there would be an altar there, and that's where they worshiped Mother Earth, or the Asherah. That was the name of the female. That's where you get the word estrogen from. An estrus. And so it was a religion. The people that lived in that land that the Israelites were going to replace, they had a religion where they had a father god and a mother goddess. Father Sky and Mother Earth, and if they would mate, then the rains would come, and the wheat would be heavy in the field, and it would be a lot of heavy calves and a lot of heavy lambs and a lot of olives and grapes on the bushes. It was a fertility cult for an agricultural people. It was all about agriculture production mixed in with religion. And so I think what God is trying to tell them, he's saying, look, you don't need a father god and a mother god. I am both to you. I am both father and mother to you. I am all you will ever need in a god. He's telling that this to the people before they cross over into this land where this happens. I think that's one of the things going on here in Deuteronomy 32. But let's get back to when God became father. You see, is this when God started being father? Was here at the end of Deuteronomy? No. God has always been father. God was our father from the very beginning, whether the humans knew it or not. He made us in his image and likeness. That's what Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then in verse 27 it says, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. So we know that both halves of the human race are the image and likeness of God. And later on in Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, it will talk about Adam had a son named Seth when Adam was 130. In his image and in his likeness. So the people that are reading this book of Genesis, they can kind of put two and two together even before they get to Deuteronomy 32. They should look at that and say, yeah, hey, God's our parent. It uses the same language to describe the relationship between an earthly parent and child as describes our relationship with our Creator. God's our Father. Now, in the Old Testament, there are not very many verses that call God Father. About 10, and a few of those, God's quoting somebody else that's calling him that. In other words, it's not, even though it's introduced to us, it's not strongly established. It's not until Jesus comes. It's not until God comes that we can listen to him. We hear the Son of God teaching us about God the Father. And that's when it really gets cemented that God is our Father and has been from the very beginning. But how much better it is to know God as our loving, caring, providing, sacrificing Father that gave up that which was most precious to him to get us back as his children again. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
And that's a great reason to celebrate fatherhood. Well, it's interesting because, I mean, how different my life would be if I did not call God my Father. Now, obviously, you could have a relationship with God without thinking of God in that way. Abraham had a relationship with God. It's interesting, the name Abraham means father of many nations, but Abraham didn't know God as father. Not all religions share this. Islam has 99 names for God. Father is not one of those 99 names. In the Quran, it says God begets not, nor is he begotten. See, God cannot be father in Islam. Islam is a relationship limited to God as master and humans as slaves. But we have a relationship of father and son, or father and daughter. What did Jesus say in John? The verse that just came to me, he said in John chapter 8, and talking about the truth shall set you free. He's, verse 35, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. What would you rather be? A slave or a son? A slave or a daughter? This makes a difference. To be the children of God, to be able for us to call God our parent, our father, it makes a difference. Well, why didn't God introduce himself as Father earlier? Have you ever wondered why Adam and Eve weren't told, or Abraham wasn't told that he's father? I don't think it's because God didn't want people to know that he was their father. I think it's just that, just like Jesus was limited in when he taught people, he had to speak to them as they had ears to hear. It's not that God didn't want to reveal himself, but it's just that God is limited by his audience, by what their ears can handle. Well, you know, you've heard that saying, watch how you live, because you may be the only Bible that some people ever read. I'm going to expand that out a little bit for dads. Dads, watch how you live, because you may be the only father figure that some people ever get to know. We've got a struggle in our country today with a lot of children who don't know their fathers. And God is called the Father to the fatherless, right? And so part of our role on earth here as dads is not just to be dads to our children, but you got to understand other children are watching you as you relate with your children. I remember when my son was in kindergarten, first grade, and I would try to go to school there in Belle Fourche and eat lunch with him, you know, every once or twice a month, you know, just to kind of stay in touch with him. And after lunch, we would go out into the playground to play. And there was these tires to climb on and these monkey bars to swing on. But I hardly ever got to play with him out on the playground, because I would have two little girls on each hand holding onto my fingers.
And I couldn't hardly shake them off. But these were little girls that didn't have a daddy. And here they saw a guy that they thought was kind of a father figure. They saw me with my son. Of course, he'd run off to play in the tires. Then they would glom onto me. I guess they thought I was free. Our world needs godly father figures. And this helps them get in connection with their heavenly father. If you've never really experienced a dad, or the dad that you've experienced wasn't anything positive, when you hear that Bible verse that God is a father to the fatherless, that doesn't really mean anything positive to you. But if you've had some positive role models, if you've actually watched some positive father figures, even though he wasn't your dad, if you watched a positive dad, then that verse about God being your father, that'll be something that you crave, something that you want. So I guess I'm celebrating fatherhood today. I'm celebrating our fathers, but I guess I'm challenging those fathers too. To share with God in trying to bring positive fatherhood to earth. It took God a long time before he could even introduce himself to people as their father. So it may take a long time for us to build a positive father image in the eyes of those that are watching us. So keep up the good work, dads. Well, that's the end of the lesson. Let's have a prayer in our final song. Thank you, God, for the people that have gathered here. Thank you, Father, for their open hearts and open ears, and thanks for their patience with me this morning. Father, we celebrate you, our Father, and we celebrate the fathers in this room. And Father, help those fathers to be the fathers that you want them to be, to support the mothers, to be encouragers of the children, and to be leaders, father figures to those who have no father. It's through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.